Okay, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Faith is what moves the hand of God, and faith is what pleases Him. We know that because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to read them to you from the Message Bible. It says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Do you belong to Christ Jesus? Then He wants you to be cheerful no matter what. He wants you praying all the time. He wants you to thank God no matter what happens. In your New King James, it says, in everything give thanks. And as I said before, the Apostle Paul was not saying we should thank God for everything that happens to us, but in everything give thanks for God's presence and for the good that He will accomplish through the situation we are in. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, Amplified Classic Edition says, for He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord, He is your helper. So no matter what happens, whatever the situation that you are facing, know that the Lord is your helper. So with confidence and boldness, let's say that together. The Lord is my helper. And you know what helper means? Means assistant. Means aid. Means helpmate. A person who helps someone else. You hear that? A person who helps someone else. The Lord is your helper. He's not going to do it for you. He's not going to violate your free will. See, you make the choices. And do you know what? You're going to need wisdom to do that, aren't you? So you need to make those good choices. So you need to ask for it, right? You need to ask for wisdom. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The ERV, very simply, says, do any of you need wisdom? Ask God for it. He is gracious and enjoys giving to everyone. So He will give you wisdom. I like that simple version. So He will give you wisdom. No matter what happens, know that God will give you that wisdom to get you through it. See, He will give you the how-tos, the what-tos, the when-tos, and the where-tos. He's your helper to get you through it. See, but it's up to you to do it. So if you follow the hows, what, when, and where-tos, you'll get through it. And you know you can be assured of that? because he said he will not relax his hold on you. He's got a hold of you the whole time. Amen. He will strengthen you. In Philippians 4:13, New Living Translation says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Who gives you strength to get through it? Christ Jesus. And if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Is what Romans, was that 8:31, New Living Translation? So we need to be rejoicing. Yeah, we need to be rejoicing. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We should say that each and every morning, because each and every morning He renews it. We get new grace. We get mercy. His mercy is renewed every morning. It's fresh. It's fresh. So every day when you wake up, you should be rejoicing. Rejoice and be glad in the day. How you start your day by rejoicing is how your day is going to go for you. Rejoice because you are God's child. And because you are His child, He has given you His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in you. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, because when you ask Jesus into your heart, that's when the Holy Spirit moved in and made His home in you. He took up residence in your temple. You are God's temple. Do you realize that? God don't live in no rundown shack. You are a temple. Look to verse 16 there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 says, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You got to just think about that for a second, folks. That Spirit of God lives in you. As in 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says again, for we are the temple of the living God. And just as God said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside you. The Holy Spirit in you is bigger than any problem, any obstacle, or any challenge you are facing. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and discernment regarding every decision you need to make. When He speaks, though, are you listening? The Holy Spirit in you is greater than Satan and all of his forces of darkness. All of them. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. Amen. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He quickens and makes alive your mortal body. You got to take it in. Think about it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And 1 John 4:4 says, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than this world. He's greater than any sin, sickness, or disease. He's greater than any lack, want, or need. He's greater than any circumstance that you might face. Greater than any obstacle that is before you. Greater than any challenge that is set into your life. Greater than any adversity that comes against you. You know, he's greater than your doubts. Greater than your insecurities. Greater than your uncertainties. See, because with him, there is no uncertainties. He is greater than anything that life throws at you, no matter what happens. And we are to be cheerful, no matter what, and to thank God, no matter what happens. We need to be praising him all the time and thanking him no matter what happens. He always turns the darkness into light. Storms in the natural, they don't last forever. They're dark, they're gloomy, but at the end, when it's over, the sun's out and it's shining brightly. And there's such a peace, right? When the storm's over and you see that sun shining. Wow, storm's over. But you know, during that storm, the sun was shining the whole time. The shining sun never went out. At night when you go to bed, you know the sun's still shining. So when you're in one of life's battles or the major storms that you're going through, remember the Son of God, Jesus, is there. You can't see him, but he's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not relax his hold on you. So be cheerful no matter what. Now you're thinking, that's not always easy. Well, let me tell you from experience, life is a lot easier when you do. And no one knew this better than David. David faced everything under the sun. He was a shepherd. He was a hero. He was hunted by Saul. He was a warrior, was a king. He was a friend. He was an adulteress. He was a musician. He was a poet. He was a psalmist. But you know, the one thing that he's remembered for the most, being a praiser, a lover of God. Turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. Verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. David praised him with his whole heart. And he sang praises to his name, to the O Most High. Psalm 18. Verses 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My song, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Praise. He's worthy to be praised. And when you're praising him, you will be saved from your enemies. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Verses 1 through 4. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here, folks? See, Psalm 150, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. This is God's sanctuary. And to praise Him in the mighty firmament out there, everywhere. Praise Him. Originally, these 150 poems or psalms were meant to be sung and were used in ancient Jewish worship services, accompanied by lyres, flutes, horns, and cymbals. This is pretty cool. Did you know that God established a 400-piece praise and worship team? Yeah, so they could play during worship. You musicians. Elder Bob, Deacon Tim, you know what I'm talking about here. Turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. David was a man of praise. Chapter 23. Sorry about that. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Let's just start reading verse 1. So, when David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and above, and the number of individual males was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers. And 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. Musical instruments were made for giving praise. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought of you. I don't know why I kept thinking about you, and I did. Praising the Lord was very important to David, and it should be as well to all of us. See, the command to praise God is a common one and found in the Old and New Testaments. Approximately 250 times in the Bible, we read commands and declarative statements regarding praising the Lord. Yet as common as praising the Lord in Scripture is, it is much misunderstood. Many people mistakenly think that merely saying or singing, praise the Lord or hallelujah, that they're actually praising God. To understand the concept of praising God, let's consider human praise. Imagine you wish to praise your earthly father. Would you come up to him and say, praise Daddy? Of course not. He'd probably look at you awful funny and want to put you up for observation someplace. Yeah. The command to praise the Lord is just that. A command to praise Him. And we do that by saying praiseworthy things about Him. And to get back to, if you wanted to praise your father here on earth, you might say, Dad, you're a man of love and great compassion. Or you might say, Pops, you've always been there. You've always taken time to listen to me. You've always been there for me. That's how you praise your father. That's how you honor your father with praise. And God is also your Father. So that's why in the Bible we have so many scriptures that give us examples of that. In Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2, it says, Praise the Lord, for His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 150, verse 2 says, Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Isaiah 25:1 says, I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Jeremiah 20, verse 13, Praise the Lord, for He has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Luke 18:43, And all the people, when they saw it, the healing of a blind man, gave praise to the God Almighty. Praising God is not a feeling. Praising God is a conscious activity. See, we praise Him by thoroughly extolling His goodness, His greatness, His majesty, His love, His grace, His mighty deeds done on our behalf. We praise Him for who He gave to us that was on that cross. Praise is conscious admiration and thanks for who God is and for what He has done and for what He continually does for us. The mere saying or singing of the words, Praise the Lord or Hallelujah, is not praise. The next time that someone says, Praise the Lord, try saying something back to them like, God is good. And then see what they say. After all, they commanded you to praise Him. The least you could do is comply, right? When somebody says, Praise the Lord, how are you to answer them? God is good all the time. And you know what? They should revert. They should come right back to you and say, Yeah, and God is good all the time. Is He not? And all the time God is good? That's right. Praising Him. Praising Him. Praising Him for what? For His mercies are renewed each and every morning. Praise Him for who He is. Who He is. He is the Creator. He created you and me. And He created us in His image. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 13, turn there real quick. Verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips is to be praise and worship. no matter what happens in your life. Even the biggest set of circumstances is no match for God's amazing love and His abilities. And that's how David approached his days. God's grace and His love for you is the only thing that makes anything possible. See, it's when you're able to praise and thank God and keep your eyes on Him in the midst of the storm and thank God and trust Him no matter what happens, that's when the impossible becomes the possible. He wants you to know that you can rest on Him and trust Him, that He will take care of it, regardless of what it is. That means no matter what you are facing today, His grace is sufficient to meet your need. No matter what's going on in this world around you, and there's a lot going on lately, in the last couple of days. No matter what anybody says, friends or foes, no matter what the media says or the economic advisors might say, no matter what your doctor is saying, not even what your family might be saying, no matter what your body is saying, no matter how loud it is talking to you, mine talks to me, but I talk back to it. I put the word on it. God's grace, love, and mercy is sufficient to meet all of your needs. Really? Yes. It wouldn't be in the Word if it wasn't true. So we don't fight for the victory today. We fight from Jesus' victory and what it has already accomplished for us who believe. That's why we got to make sure that the non-believers learn and know this so that they can believe. We should always be thanking and praising God because the victory has already been won. See, the shed blood of Jesus has already made us victorious over every situation. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. Look to verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. When you focus your eyes on Jesus, the things of the earth will grow strangely dim because of the light of His glory and grace. And singing about God's grace and His glory, it's wonderful. But see, experiencing it firsthand, living in it, it's so much better. See, it's where He wants us to be. In fact, that's where He wants us to be living every day. Will you always feel like singing a praise song to God? When you get the news and the challenge you are sitting there facing is like a mountain parked on your front doorstep? Tim, you'll probably only want to be singing the blues at that time. You know, and that's exactly, though, what the devil wants. And that's what he's counting on that. See, his success completely depends upon how you feel. We're not supposed to be moved by how we feel. See, after all, he's the one who invented depression. But you know, you can foil the plot he has for you just by one thing. One thing. Your breath. Psalm 150. We're going to read the whole psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's your breath. And you don't have to wait. See, you shouldn't wait for everything to be perfect before you start praising God, before you start celebrating. Especially for what He's going to do in your life. Because if you do, you never will. Because we don't live in a perfect world, do we? No. It is when you praise Him in the midst of a storm that He recognizes your faith. And that's when He's moved to reward you for your diligence in doing so. Praise is putting action behind your faith before you see anything happening. When you praise Him and you don't see it, that's when He knows that you're strong in your faith. Because, see, He knows that you can see with the eye of faith. He knows that you're there. He knows you're ready. Praise is about what God is capable of, not what we are capable of. See, so many times in David's life, the devil thought that he had him just where he wanted him. Thought he had him on the ropes. But you know the devil? He forgot one important thing. The praise factor. You see, every time that David got down because of his situation around him, he picked himself up by those bootstraps and he started praising right in the middle of his situation for the victory. And those praising words that came flying out of his mouth changed the situation with God's help each and every time. Because he knew that what it said, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is your helper. He's going to help you. He's not going to do it for you, but He can help you. And if you follow Him, He will help you get through it and you will have the victory. And you know, the thing is, with David, he didn't care what anybody else was thinking. No. See, everybody else wasn't going to get him through that situation. He knew that. And when you don't feel like praising Him, that's when you need to praise Him the most. That's when your faith gets stronger. When you praise Him in spite of what you're going through, you're going to find a great reward for that, for yourself. You know how much less stress you will have? Because we know who brings on the stress. See, nobody else can touch God for your need. They can't go where you need to go. They can't receive what you need either. Only you can. Jesus said to us, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe that you receive them? Then praise and thank Him. The moment you prayed, you believe you received them. Now it's up to you just to praise and thank Him. Well, I don't see it. Keep praising and thanking Him. And you will see it because your faith will get stronger and stronger. Your spirit man will come alive because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Because, see, God inhabits the praises of His people. There's no closer form of communication than praise and worship. There's no better way or time to ask Him to meet your needs than when you praise Him. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Jesus speaking here, and He said, in that day you will ask Me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask, and you will receive. It didn't say maybe. It said you will receive. Because He wants your joy to be made full. In the Message Bible, that last part says, your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Yeah. Well, that can only be described by one word. Uncontainable. Yeah. Have you ever seen those levees when they broke? The water was uncontainable. That's how your joy will be. When you ask, you will receive. Because He wants you to be that joyful with it. Okay, I want you to know right now, because of that He stands ready to meet your very need this day. In fact, He's ready to meet it beyond those expectations you have. Whatever that need be, whether it be physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, He's ready to meet it. He wants your joy to be overflowing. He wants it to be uncontainable because He knows the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, God is still in the miracle-working business. He never retired from it. He still got the business. He still works miracles today. Can I give you two steps to follow? Two steps. Okay. You need to praise God for what He is doing right now in your situation. And you need to keep praising Him until the answer comes. If you have any questions, repeat steps 1 and 2 until you arrive at the desired result. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always. God already provided everything we would ever need when He sent His Son, Jesus, into the world. Every trial we will ever face has already been tried and acquitted by Jesus, our counselor. Every obstacle we will ever come up against, He has already overcome by Jesus, our overcomer. Every ache and every pain has been conquered by Jesus, our conqueror. Every sickness and disease that has been discovered and is yet to be found has already been cured. By His stripes, you have already been healed. By Jesus, our healer, Jehovah Rapha. Remember, there were 39 root causes to all sicknesses and diseases. And Jesus took 39 stripes for each one. So he's 39 for 39. By his stripes, you are healed. Back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Look to verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. He did. By the stripes that Jesus bore. Save me, and I shall be saved. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you're saved. For you are my praise. See, praise God for his gift of grace to this world. His only one Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has faced them, each and every one, all 39, and he was victorious over each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. When your body's speaking to you, you speak the word. Speak the word to that body, and that body will listen. All we have to do is have faith to believe that Jesus did this for us. If you believed you received that your salvation is yours, then believe that you received healing. He was born to die for us. 1 John. Last turn back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And guess what? It says, who is he who overcomes the world? That means that's you. That means that's you. You overcome this world. And how do you do that? By your faith. Faith. Look across there on my page and look. Verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him for. Period. See, it's time we stop trying to do it on our own. Stop trying to figure it out. Take the Lord and his word for what it says. Take it for what it says. See, it's time that we only believe. Only believe. Forget about everything else and just simply believe, because all things are possible to those who believe. Believe. Amen. Thank you.